But please turn to Psalm 100 if you're not already there. And we will consider it together. This is the same that Grandma Betty did. Grandma, did you do that by memory before, or that was by memory? How many of you can do this by memory? Yeah, some of you can, but not in this version. I won't make you do it. How many could do it in the King James, the older version, from memory? Some of you can. I learned this one. But let's say it together. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let's pray. Our Lord, we thank you that we can come to you. We thank you for the joy we've had in rejoicing you today. Now, Lord, guide us as we think about your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the highest compliments that you give to someone is that they are a good person. So he's a good man, for he's a jolly good fellow. For she's a good woman, she's a jolly good lady, I guess. That's a good kid. We don't always say things while we're still around, but you know, someday, if that's one of the best things you can say is someone's passing on. Not so much what they do for you, not so much what they've achieved in life, but that's a good person. And that's the highest compliment that you can give. Sad thing is that when we think about the Lord, that often we think more about what he does for us than who he is. So we're thankful for the answers to prayer. We're thankful that he's strong, that he's mighty. But often we forget to just tell him he's wonderful for who he is. And that's where Psalm 100 comes in. So Psalm 100 is about a third of the Psalms that are just praise and thanksgiving. And this is one of two Psalms. So this one and Psalm 103 are one of two Psalms where it's completely praise and thanksgiving and not even one petition, not even one request of God. And so that's why on a day like today, which happens to be Thanksgiving Sunday, we often think of this psalm and the other one, which is Psalm 103. So one of two psalms that are entirely praise and thanksgiving. We look at this one, probably the second most favorite psalm, Psalm 23, Psalm 100. We did look at Psalm 121. I don't know who told us these things up, but it's right up there, maybe one of the top three at least of psalms. And so we're looking at this together today. So this morning, today, by the flip of the calendar, the way that Thanksgiving Sunday hits, it's kind of an unusual coming together. So we've got Thanksgiving Sunday. I'm getting some time to come back tonight over Crates Creek if you want to get some more thanks and praise in. But Thanksgiving Sunday and our annual meeting, which happens to hit on the same Sunday. And how well we do today. As we come together to worship, and as we think about an annual meeting coming up, to remember, no, it's not what God does for us, first of all, that we praise him for. It's for who he is. And to begin with, we recall that we praise him that because our God is a worthy king. He is worthy of his enthronement above all of heaven. And that enthronement is by everyone. Not just by people at Valley View, but people down the street at some of the other churches and people across town and people around the world, people of every generation, people of every language, every tribe, every ethnicity, every generation across our period of time and across all of time, he is worthy of being enthroned by all of them and all of us. And it's because he's a worthy king. That's why we send brothers and sisters out across the community and around the world to share Christ with others, that others might praise him too. He's worthy of that kind of praise and that kind of exaltation, being raised to the throne as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's worthy of all kinds of celebration. So of praise, of words, of prayers, of singing, of our lives given over to him, of wild and crazy celebration. Think of King David. So King David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. That was where the presence of God was displayed. And he got so excited, he starts shedding his clothes. You know, he threw off, I don't know what he threw off, maybe his crown, maybe his robe, and he's throwing this here and throwing it there, and his wife is looking down and saying, "Hey, buddy, you're getting too carried away. Stop it." He was getting excited. He was praising God with all that he was and all that he had. And you know, you think of it. Some of the movies, I don't know. So the guy, you know, he throws off his jacket and he throws off his tie. And then he's throwing off his shoes. And then you're thinking, okay, maybe I should shut this off now. But the point is, he's getting excited. And it's okay to get excited about our God. It's okay to get exuberant about our God. You know, we often think that it's our more charismatic brothers and sisters that raise their hands and dance in the aisles and dance and shout. That stuff came, it didn't come from the 20th century. That stuff came from the Jews and the Psalms of the Old Testament. They would raise their hand in praise to God. It's okay to lose yourself. Now, we are in York County, right? And we're not like, we're a little bit staid. We're at Valley View. We're not probably going to do a lot of that, but it's okay to lose ourselves, to shout and to praise him and to love the Lord with all that we are and all that we have. But also to love him with our lives. Our lives. It's not just on a Sunday morning that we praise our King. It's with our lives. It's 24/7. And so coming in with our vocation and with all that we say and all that we do, the way that we live our lives at home and in the community and at work and at school, to give him everything and say, "Jesus, this is for you. Because you, the King, are worthy of enthronement. You are worthy of being up on the throne." It's worthy of our service. You know, we think of our annual meeting coming up and all of the things that people have given in times of service to him, but it's also worthy also of his subjects. And so his subjects that are all around the world are praising him today. Because why? Because the Lord is God. He's the one that made us. We didn't make ourselves. He's unique. He's holy. There's none that is like him. And yet he's a personal God, unlike the gods of this world, unlike Allah, unlike Buddha, unlike Krishna, unlike the cosmos and the world of the ethereal that people think that God. No, he is a God that we can know. He's a God that cares about us. He is the one that the scriptures proclaim that created us. And so he is worthy of the praise of us as his created beings. And he not only created us, but he chose us by his grace. And so, of course, he's worthy of our praise. The nation of Israel was chosen not because she was perfect, not because she necessarily had a lot to offer God. As we read the scriptures, we see that the Jews were chosen as a people that were to proclaim him to the nations, not because they deserved it, but because of his grace. It was a gift to them. Now they squandered the gift, and he chose one son of Israel to proclaim him to the nations. But then he chose us from all of the nations of the earth by his grace. to know him and to follow him. It's a gift that we receive from him. He chose us not because we had something to offer, because we were wonderful people, or we were goody-two-shoes. He chose us because he loved us. And so we should praise him out of his love for us, out of his grace for us as his subjects. And the truth of the matter is that he made us. We didn't make ourselves. We were there, but we didn't make ourselves. Our parents didn't even make us. They were there. They had a lot to do with it. But God made us. And there's not a parent alive that doesn't look at a little baby and say, wow, or a grandchild and say, wow, God made that. It wasn't the doctor. It wasn't chance. It wasn't some test tube. And maybe there's some from test tubes, I don't know, around today. But it's God that thought of us before the foundation of the world and chose to make us out of nothing for his own glory, and then chose us to know him and made us and called us to be one of his own sheep. And because we're his sheep, the psalmist says he owns us. We're his. We're in his flock. He's chosen to call us to follow him. The Lord is our shepherd. He's with us through all of life. Because he's with us, he provides for us. We don't have any needs. He brings us beside quiet waters. He walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. But we don't have anything to fear because he, our shepherd, is with us. And he's with us. He even sits down for dinner in the presence of our enemies. Our cups are running over and over and over because our shepherd is caring for us. He's taking care of all of our needs. He is worthy of our praise. He is the shepherd king. The kings in Israel were called shepherd leaders, and he is the shepherd leader of them all, and so he is most worthy of our praise. When our presidents are inaugurated, they got a celebration. And the parties, and sometimes the presidents dicker over whether their celebration was bigger or better or longer than the last one. And so I had a greater audience for mine than you had for yours. The next one, I want to have another one bigger. And we got a better celebration, better dancing, better this, better that, more guests at ours, better music, better entertainment. But it's only for a little while. And it's only for a limited scope. It's only one party that usually shows up for those things. Not even an entire country. But our Lord is worthy as the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is worthy of a celebration that we just have a part of on Sunday mornings, and that we celebrate throughout the week by giving him all of our lives and all that we have and all that we are. He is worthy of the praise of men and women from everywhere, from every country, from every language, from every ethnicity. He is worthy of every kind of celebration that there is, of dance, of song, of drama. He's worthy of our thoughts. He's worthy of our deeds. And it's not just for a little while. It's not just for a stated period of time, for some weekend in Washington, D.C. He is worthy of all of the praise of his people, of his subjects, for day after day, for year after year, from eternity past, for all of eternity future. And that's what we'll be doing around his throne. We will be praising him and lifting up because he is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our kingship, of his kingship. He's worthy of our loyalty above any other gods that we might be attracted to. He's worthy because he is the king above all kings. Our God is a worthy king. He deserves all of our praise. He deserves 100% our full-hearted praise because he's a worthy king. But also because our God is good. He's graciously hospitable. Now, you know, if you're trying to get into certain officials' offices, you got to make an appointment. You know, if you try and get into your boss's office, you try and get into the mayor's office. Where's the mayor, former mayor? I imagine someone's got to make an appointment. You can't just walk in there. If you want to walk into principal's office, you better have an appointment. If you're there without an appointment, you might not get in. Sometimes to see a parent or a grandparent, you know, you got to knock on the door. You can't just walk in. If you want to get in to see a governor or a president, you don't just walk in. You got to make an appointment. But our Lord, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of the Lord who is above all, welcomes us into his presence. He says, come on in and have dinner with me and me with you. And it wasn't always that way. Back at the temple, it was the temple which was where the presence of God was displayed. It was only welcome to those who were Jewish men, Jewish male priests, once a year into the Holy of Holies. But when Jesus came by giving his life for us, he said that all who put their faith and trust in him as the only sacrifice for sin and turn around and follow him, that he would open the door, that the curtain separating God from humanity would be broken apart, and that men and women and children and people of every ethnic background who put their faith and trust in him would be welcome, not because they deserve it, but because of the grace of Jesus, because Jesus gave their life for them, they would be welcomed into his throne room, and so that we can have fellowship, we can have a relationship with God today, tomorrow, in the middle of the night, wherever we are, at any time, he welcomes us into his presence. And so we say aloud, thank you to him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for letting us come in and be with you, because he is not only graciously hospitable, but he's also forever kind and he's forever faithful. He sends rain. Jesus said, not just on the people that love him. He sends rain on those who don't love him. He sends rain to the good and to the just and to the unjust. And he keeps his covenant of love, Moses writes, to 1,000 generations of those who love him. You know, we get concerned about those who come after us, about our children, about our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, about the next generation at Valley View and other churches and the church at large. But he says, how many generations will he keep his covenant of love? 1,000. You know, we genealogists, they can go a few years back. I don't know how many, you know, maybe 20, 30 generations. They go back to the Mayflower. I don't think they can go to 1,000 generations back. But I know they can't go 1,000 generations ahead. But if the Lord waits to come back another 1,000 generations, he will be as faithful to those 1,000 generations after us as he is to us. He keeps his covenant of love to 1,000 generations. He's different than human leaders. The truth of the matter is that human leaders always disappoint. The Jews said that the Jews went to Israel. I mean, the Jews came to the Lord and they said, you know, we don't have a king. We wish that we had a human king to take care of us. And he said, well, if you get a human king, then they're going to disappoint you. They're going to enslave you. They're going to give you a hard time. And they did. And so their first king, Saul, ended up losing his life on a hill because he was faithful, unfaithful to the Lord. Then they had good King David, a wonderful, wonderful king. But he was flawed, deeply flawed, as he got interested in the girl next door and then got rid of her husband. And then there was quite a collection of good kings and bad kings, not a one of them perfect. Why? Because our human kings always disappoint. No matter who it is, they disappoint us because only the Lord is good. Only the Lord is always faithful to us. But he is. We expect him sometimes to be like those human kings. Those human leaders. And sometimes we put too much trust in other people and we get disappointed by them. But when we get disappointed by other people, we can look to the Lord and know that he will always be good. He will always be faithful to us. He will be always good to those who hope in him, Solomon wrote, to those who wait for their salvation. He will never disappoint us, my Valley View friends. As those who follow him here, he will never disappoint us with his kingdom at large. He will never disappoint us in our homes. Our Lord will always be faithful to us, and so we should give him loud praise. Mark Batterson said, you know, that Solomon wrote that his blessings, that his mercies are new every morning. Every morning, he said, we got a new mercy from the Lord. So he said, let's add those up. He said, if you think by 21 years old, if you got a mercy that's new every morning, then he said you're going to have 7,665 new mercies from God. If you get to midlife, then you got 14,600 new mercies from the Lord. And if you get to retirement, we got some here that are retirement and beyond. Then you have experienced or you will experience 23,725 new mercies from the Lord. Have we got a good deal or what? Let's give God thanks today. Because we love being subjects of such a good King. Won't you please stand and let's praise God from whom all blessings flow.